Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Take giant steps before he can crawl. In scarcely 90 days, he's trying to remake America into a socialist nation. Now, you know, you can say, what is he talking about? Didn't McCain say that he's not a socialist? McCain is a hack. Let's get that off the table here. Everything that Obama has done indicates he's pushing forward the Marxist agenda that he has believed in for the time he's been a puppy. Now, the only question is, what type of socialist nation will America be when he gets through with this country? Will it be on a Swedish model? That wouldn't be so bad, you say. Or will it be on the Cuban model or the ex-Soviet Union model with forced labor camps or the North Korean model? Which model do you think is most appropriate for what's going to happen in this country if we don't stop Giggles? Now you say, what is he rambling on about? Is Giggles that bad or is this guy just pissed off that a conservative didn't win and all of that? Well, let's examine it together. Expanded AmeriCorps has an authoritarian feel is the headline in the DCExaminer.com. Do you remember when Obama threw civil liberties to the wind during the campaign and he quickly covered it up when he proposed, quote, a civilian national security force that's just... Why don't you play Obama Giggles when he said this? Let's play it, okay, because it's very
important. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Now, what does he mean by a civilian national security force? Well, we know that he hired a street thug from Oakland, California, who harassed the police for 10 years, which led to the deaths of four cops, and his minions were in the streets just yesterday in Oakland, California, supporting not the families of the dead officers, but the vermin who killed the dead officers. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear. If you are in law enforcement, I suggest you do not listen to this. I want you to listen to a group of street vermin memorializing the cop executioner, Lovell Mixon. Play 2 and 3.
But karma comes around. What goes around comes around.
Here it is. He goes by doing the regular speed limit, and the man pulls him over.
In a way, he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence.
I mean, I am not speechless. There are many things I would like to say that I cannot say on a AM station that's broadcast to America and via the Internet around the world. But this group of people in the street was supporting the man who executed four policemen. They call themselves the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. And they call the killer of the cops who executed them in the street as they lay dying, two of them, a hero. Now, this piece of crap, Lovell, was pulled over because he was wanted for grabbing a 12-year-old girl off the street and raping her. Now, I guess this group in Oakland believes in raping children. And I guess that's what they mean by a hero. To them, child rape, anyone who commits child rape must be heroic. Listen to clip four now.
Are you making Lavelle Mixon a hero?
One could say that in a way he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence. Far too often, we see our African men and women killed by the police.
Now, with this kind of street vermin running around Oakland, California, you know why there's restaurant robberies, home invasions, and now the killing of cops. They've been nullified by Obama's minions. And if you say, what does Obama have to do with it? Everything. Obama is the sum total of this movement. Obama is the sum total of cop-hating, America-hating, and I may go a step further, but I won't right now. You say, what does he have to do with it? I'm sure he's opposed to the killing of the police. Yeah, he may be individually opposed to the killing of the police, but intellectually, Obama is a product of these people. Why else would he hire someone who has harassed the police for 10 years with a group called Cop Watch and bring him into the White House to run some green organization or another? And that's why I say, if you don't see the handwriting on the wall, you're insane. Now, I started the show by talking about this expansion of AmeriCorps. You don't know that this has already happened. With no public input, with no public attention, both chambers of rotten vermin in Congress, the stinking criminals who run America, pushed forward an expansion of the AmeriCorps National Service Plan with the number of federally funded community service jobs increasing from 75,000 to 250,000 street vermin at a cost of $5.7 billion. What is this all about? What it is a street army for Obama to make certain that the military cannot stop him from his attempts to go to the nth degree as to what his program really is. He's creating his own SA, in my opinion. Last summer, then-candidate Hussein threw civil liberties overboard when he said he wanted to create a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the regular military. Now, the expanded AmeriCorps may not be this, but then again, it may become this. What exactly is this? And what about these vermin in the streets of Oakland, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, who was celebrating the death of four cops, shouting slogans against the police saying he was a hero, the killer? They are the most vicious scum imaginable. In saner times, this never would have happened. But we live not only in insane times, but dangerously insane times. To call this man a hero, a man who was being picked up for not only jumping bail, but because he was wanted for grabbing a 12-year-old girl off the street and raping her, is beyond comprehension. But then again, we live in strange times. We live in strange and dangerous times. So I ask you what Obama means by this legislation that was just passed by both houses of gangsters, the bill calling for youth engagement zones in which service learning is a mandatory part of the curriculum in all of the secondary schools served by the local educational agency. This was probably written by one of these uneducated dolts that Obama drug up from the streets of Oakland, because that's an illiterate sentence. But this is what the government's going to do. Service learning by the local educational agency? Voluntary community service? What is this? What is he really doing? Well, the House voted for it, and so did the Senate. And what do you think it's going to be? Stalin would be proud, because this is something out of the ex-Soviet Union. Uniforms, mandatory service, children indoctrination, chain of command. If it's not the Hitler Youth, it's the youth that Stalin created in the Soviet Union. Obama is a tyrant, but he's only taking baby steps thus far, not giant steps. If he is not opened up to what he's actually doing, if the people don't understand what he's doing, you will not only see the brown shirts in America, but these very same street vermin who called the cop killer a hero will be in your neighborhood telling you what you should do with your life. And if you think I'm making this up, if you say it can't happen here, I disagree with you. I want you to listen again to clip 3 and 4, because this could be who Obama is thinking of hiring to be monitors in your neighborhood. Listen to 3 and 4.
Lavelle is a hero!
That was a good dude!
Lavelle is a hero!
I don't condone what he did, but karma comes around. What goes around comes around.
Here it is. He goes by doing the regular speed limit, and the man pulls him over.
In a way, he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence.
Are you making Lavelle Mixon a hero?
One could say that in a way he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence. Far too often, we see our African men and women killed by the police.
Well, I would suggest the Oakland police go on strike for 60 days and let these verminous morons face the full wrath of the vermin that the police have to clean up every day, the human garbage that they have to deal with every day. You know, there was a song in Germany called Deutschland, Deutschland über alles. I guess we can create one here called Obamaland, Obamaland über alles. This is the National Socialist Democratic Party. This is the beginning of fascism in America. Play Giant Steps, because if we don't stop Giggles while he's taking baby steps, well, I think even you can put two and two together. Early days, baby steps for Giggles. Keeping watch on the people. Left's version of Hitler Youth. Rahm Emanuel's wildest dream. Rahm Emanuel and his brethren come to America and convert America into a fascist dictatorship. You know, I was standing on a roof today doing some repairs at my house. And for a brief moment, I looked down off the roof and I thought, you know, if I fell off the roof, I wouldn't have to see what's coming to this country. For one brief second, I must admit to you that went through my mind. I'd be lying if I told you, if I kept this from you. I believe this is the most evil man in the history of the American governmental process. And I believe he's the greatest deceiver that you have ever seen in office. I'll be right back. Savage.
He goes by doing the regular speed limit, and the man pulls him over.
In a way, he is a hero. I would just say that he's another.
Turn these vermin off. Here's a man the cops are looking for, not only because he was a parole violator and a violent felon, but he was wanted for rape. He grabbed a 12-year-old girl off the street and raped her, and these people are supporting him over the four cops he killed. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Obama. Maybe that should be the new campaign slogan for this administration. Perhaps Rahm Emanuel can dust off his German textbooks. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Obama. Morgen die ganze Welt. Look up your German. Now, what are you going to do if they tell you that it's mandatory that you give your children over to AmeriCorps? I'm asking you, what are you going to do? I have a problem with this phrase, a workable, fair, and reasonable mandatory service requirement for all able young people? Are you crazy? It's against the U.S. Constitution. What are you going to do when they come for your children? Your senators and congressmen just voted for this. A few of them said no. Morons voted for this. Psychopathic, liberal criminals voted for this. An Obama youth program? What are you going to do, good liberals? Did you give birth to your children to turn them over to the government? I can't understand this. I don't understand how this could be happening in front of my eyes. 13th Amendment, conscription were eliminated with the draft. Amendment 13, Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And yet, the master of the universe, Giggles, has just passed this by buying off the pimps in Congress and the whores in the Senate. By spreading money around, he can get anything he wants. Now, of course, the architect of this is not Obama himself. He's a busy man. The architect is Bill Ayers. His long-term plan has been to school an entire generation. But you're not paying much attention to this. New, as strong and as well-funded as the U.S. Military Service Organization, the new youth organization could be named the Obama Youth. And after the Messiah guts the U.S. military, he will use them as the military. He'll give them the weapons. I don't understand how this can be going on, but apparently you're too stupid to see that you have fascism brewing in America and that the Congress actually passed this the other day. The other day with no discussion. So, I mean, I almost rest my case. I rest my case. We have four policemen executed in the streets of Oakland, California. It's not covered in America. The vermin in the media don't cover it. The filth in the news media won't cover it. And when they do, they don't cover the grieving families. They cover the families, the friends, rather, of the executioner. These, you know, I want to say one thing to those of you in the television and radio and newspaper business. I want to say to you that I hope you pay for this through karma. What you have done to my country, I pray to God you pay for it through your children's children. I hope this comes back to haunt you. That's all I could say, what you have done to this nation. This is no longer the Jerry Springer nation. That we know what that is, and we know what happened with that piece of human garbage. We know what he did to this country. But what we're talking about here now is the death of liberty itself. So I ask you again, what form of socialist government will we end up with in this country? Because there's no question that's where we're going. Now, under Bush, we were 60% there. I've said that. I said that for years. Nobody listened to me. I said he was a fiscal socialist over a year ago. That's what I said about Bush. So don't accuse me of supporting Bush, because that's all that comes back from you, you vermin on the left, which is, isn't he better than Bush? So you would take Hitler over Bush?
Savage.
A tune in the early days of the 1930s in a faraway place, when another outsider was put into power by the industrialists who thought they could control him. Of course, the rest is history. All right, let's pause right here. Wer werden wieder marschieren? Pardon my pronunciation. Wenn alles in Scherben fällt, dann heute hat und Deutschland und morgen die ganze Welt. It's a chorus from a popular tune sung by little boys in little brown uniforms who then went on to kill your uncles and your fathers and your grandfathers. We shall march onwards even if everything crashes down in pieces, for today Germany hears us and tomorrow the whole world. Kind of a catchy little tune, huh? Now you say, am I totally crazy? Am I mad? Well, you could say I'm mad. I'm mad at the fact that we have pimps and prostitutes in Congress who have just voted to expand AmeriCorps to 250,000 people at the tune of $5.7 billion without any discussion or a vote, which will require mandatory service from our youth wearing government-issued uniforms, and nobody knows what they're supposed to do. So, I say to you, who's the mad one, me or you? You who think you know it all? You who think I'm an alarmist? You who think I'm exaggerating what this man is? I don't understand how liberals who are so opposed to uniforms and the military would let their children be conscripted in a volunteer, quote, slash, a government volunteer group for children. I would think even a liberal who has a child would understand what this is. But then again, I wrote the book. I'm the one who wrote the book called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. It was copied in many different forms. They're in many derivative titles based upon my book, Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. That's the way great things are. They're copied, and there are derivatives of it, and that's fine. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is, are the liberals who listen to this show, who are sort of curious to see what the other side thinks, who recognize that they may be, perhaps were had by Rahm Emanuel and his gang from Chicago, aren't any of you yet alarmed by what you see going on? Well, okay, I mean, I've made my point. So again, I'll raise the question. We had protesters marching at a rally memorializing the cop executioner, Lovell Mixon. And we know that Obama took one of these types, the smartest of them, who ran a cop watch group for over 10 years, into the White House. And will this man be hiring these street protesters who hate police, who think that the cop killer is a hero? Will they be coming to a neighborhood near you? Huh? You missed this? Who is this Uhuru movement? Who are they? Well, we don't know who they are, but we know that they think the police got what they deserved. I don't know how this could be going on in front of my eyes, but it is going on in front of my eyes. So I open it up to you on the Savage Nation. I will take your calls in order in which they've been lining up on the runway. And we will see what you have to say about this. But if this is not a topic that interests you, perhaps we can talk about Giggles addressing the worldwide town hall today, which I watched for about 3 or 4 minutes. And I couldn't believe what I was watching. I've never seen anything as staged. Well, I can't say I've never seen anything as staged. It was as staged as any other press conference. But Giggles is everywhere. Morning, noon, and evening, there's Giggles. Now Giggles is doing a web press conference. And to me, it looked like the questions were written by distant cousins of Rahm Emanuel. Perhaps one of them had a name Sturm and Drung Emanuel. Perhaps he had another cousin from Tel Aviv called Moshe Emanuel, who sent in another question. Maybe he hired another relative called Yasha Emanuel, who sent in another question. Maybe Jaime Emanuel sent in a question posing as Richard from California in order for to have Giggles look like a statesman. But I can't believe I'm watching this going on in front of my eyes. I don't understand this. I can't understand how Americans cannot see what's happening directly in front of their eyes. Bakersfield, California, Craig, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. You mentioned at the start about the socialist kind of movements I like to call him Mr. Cellophane because we can see right through him. The socialist thing I think he's really modeling this entire volunteer thing on is the Red Guards from China. It's just straight out of it. That's when Mao activated the mostly students and civilians to sort of hype up Mao Zedong.
Yes, and they became the and then there were offshoots of them called the Red Brigades in Germany who kidnapped and killed. In the Red Guards in China had a cousin group in Cambodia called the Khmer Rouge. As you well know, they rounded up anyone with eyeglasses and put them to work in the fields. They killed off the entire middle class. Those would be the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers. Anybody who could read or write was, in other words, killed by the Red Guards as being counter-revolutionary because they posed a threat to Pol Pot. And I want to talk about Pol Pot for a minute. Many of you don't know who he is. Pol Pot began as a meek professor, by the way, a mild-mannered professor from Cambodia who went to Paris to study study Marxism. And he came back and he introduced Marxism to Cambodia. And that, if you remember, yielded a mountain of human skulls, if you remember the movie. We also have a meek professor who arose from nowhere right now in the White House. It doesn't mean that Pol Pot was necessarily an evil man. He probably started out as a nice guy, but he felt it was an unfair nation, Cambodia, and he wanted to make it fair, and he wanted to redistribute power and wealth. And the best way to do that would be to take those with eyeglasses and force them to work as laborers. And what did he use? He used idiotic children who had no education, who were tough and strong, to beat the middle class into submission. Craig, thank you for the call. Now you say, why am I going on about this? Because the law was just passed the other day by the prostitutes and the pimps in the House of Representatives and the pimps and prostitutes in the U.S. Senate. And why did they vote for this? You think they really know what they voted for? because Obama took your money and promised it to them in their districts for their pet projects. If he would have said you have to dunk children in acid, they might have signed on a dotted line. It wouldn't have mattered to them, you know. Ron in Portland, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I'm mad as hell because I'm a black disabled veteran who served my country just like all the good Americans believe in good work ethics and everything else. And I've seen this thing happening when I grew up in L.A. in the 70s. Talk down to Whitey, make him look bad, make the idiot that's been arrested a few times, doing all the bad corruptions and another, the saint, and at the same time, they go through and worship him, Michael. I'm tired. While at the same time, they're throwing smoke and mirrors. While you're concentrating on that, they're going through and taking more of my money out of my wallet. They're going through and taking away the values that we grew up
with. Ron, I know. You know, if we were to only talk about money alone, and I could do that, what this man has done in only 60 days is devalue the U.S. dollar by approximately 20 to 25%, which is why both Russia and China want to take the world off the U.S. dollar. And the man behind it is George Soros, in my opinion. That's why he's smirking. That's why Dr. Death is smirking. That's why he made $1.2 billion. He put Obama in office in order to wreck the dollar, in order to destroy this free country. But I feel as though I am screaming into the wilderness here, Ron. I feel as though I'm alone here, screaming into the wilderness. But apparently, you see the truth as well.
Yes, I do. I'm going to tell you this, Michael. They try, while this is going on, this victimization, there's no accountability. When you try to do something right, let's go back all the way back to 1992. Let's go back to the Rodney King thing. The SOB was arrested many times. And yet, the arresting officer, this, that, another, gets treated like crap. And then all of a sudden, you got the victimization, you justify the riots, oh, we misbehave the black community, this, that, another. What it is, they've took...
Well, look, but we expect rabble like this in the gutter, but we don't expect rabble like this in the news media. We don't expect rabble like this in the San Francisco mayor's office. We don't expect drug addicts running the city of Oakland and the cities of San Francisco who say nothing about the dead cops and don't get outraged at the street vermin.
Michael, I'm up here in the great...
Where is that sick Annie Toosome Newsome about this? Where is Ron Dellums, the mayor of Oakland? Where is one state official who has anything to say about the dead cops? You don't hear them, do you? Look, I can't take it anymore. I really can't, and I don't want to blow an artery out over this. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I can see the handwriting on the wall. This Obama Youth Corps is a mimic or a mockery. Excuse me, a direct copy. I don't really think it's a direct copy. Well, it's like the Red Guards, a combination of the Red Guards in China and of the young pioneers under Stalin. It's closer to the young pioneers than it is to anything else. We have the Sovietization of the United States of America. You know, this is what is going on here. You say socialization, and it has very little meaning. But perhaps if I call it the Sovietization, some of you will understand it. I think you'd have to be over 40 to understand that. I would say anyone under 40 doesn't even understand what the Soviet Union was, what the Sovietization of America means. They're taken in by giggles. I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Julie in San Francisco on KNEW. Go ahead, please.
I do not understand how anyone can defend this subhuman who has been nothing but a danger to society and a burden to society. And personally, I think he should have been dead 10 years ago. And he is not. He has not been worth saving or any of our resources. And nothing has helped him, and now we have this. And I'm at the point where the residents of East Oakland, I'd like to see their 911 disabled, because they have.
I would like to see the police of Oakland go on a 60-day strike, calling in sick. That's what I'd like to see.
No regard.
That's what I'd like. I'd like to see a strike by the cops of Oakland. Everybody call in on a sick out. And I'd like to see these vermin run wild in the streets. And then I'd like to see the liberals in the Oakland Hills who are now supporting this vermin with sympathy on the radio and television from the reporters. I'd like to see what their streets become. I'll be right back. I'm taking a break. You in the midst of it all, you have to remember that living well is the best revenge. What I've decided to do is that since this group of criminals is probably going to pay for all of these Maoist programs by taxing the successful to death and taking away everything I have earned and saved all my life, I'm just going to spend it. I'm going to just spend it as fast as I can, give it away as fast as I can. And that's about the extent of it. I'm going to spend it before they take it from these criminals. My birthday, I had my 15th radio anniversary on last Saturday. Now, next Tuesday is my birthday, so I just got a gift package. I can't, you know, just for a moment of levity here. You know, it's like one of these, what is this, like a gift basket with stuff that you never, ever open. I think I sent this back 2 years ago when I got it, and it's gone around. It's like a chain letter. These are like these baskets that you get that you never open, and you use it for someone else as a gift. Then they give it to someone else, and then they give it back to you. Cashew Roca, panettone, golden walnut, cinnamon roasted cashews, creamy puff rolls. I don't eat any of this stuff. So what I usually do is give it away. And what happens is about 2 years later, it gets recycled and it comes back to me. Oh, by the way, a little light news story for all of you anti-war types who elected giggles. This came out moments ago. Obama to add U.S. troops to Afghanistan. In other words, in addition to the 17,000 fresh combat troops that Giggles said he would send to Afghanistan, he's going to send another, how many? I don't know. Does it say how many? Another 4,000, but they're going to be called advisors? Advisor. Getting feedback now. Advisors are coming. So Hillary Clinton says it's an integrated military-civilian strategy, said Secretary of Deceit Hillary Rotten Clinton from Monterrey, Mexico. Integrated military-civilian strategy, and not one word from the frauds in Code Stinko, MoveOn.org, all of those who opposed the war in Iraq, seem to be just thrilled about the war in Afghanistan that's brewing, which will be Obama's Vietnam, as sure as I'm sitting here. I can guarantee you the military won't do as well there as they did in Iraq. I mean, as bad as it was in Iraq, it'll be worse with Afghanistan. And didn't Obama say that he would find Osama bin Laden? How come he hasn't found Osama bin Laden yet? I wonder. You'd think that he'd come out of the cave and shake his hand. You know, now that things are safe, since he said that it's no longer a war on terror, and he's bringing Osama bin Laden's minions to American neighborhoods, you'd think Osama bin Laden would be invited to the White House. So here it is, 17,000 fresh combat troops were ordered. Now he's going to send 4,000 to 5,000 more advisors. Oh, 4,000 military trainers to try to increase the size of the Afghan army. Why are we in Afghanistan? Can anyone explain to me what we're doing there? I haven't any idea why we care about Afghanistan. Do you? Does anyone know what the national interest is in Afghanistan? I haven't any idea. The fact of the matter is that Obama has failed every international test that has been thrown out at him. Virtually every international challenge that has been thrown Giggles' way has shown him to not be able to meet up to the challenge of being the president. It's true he has a nice smile. It's true he has a deep voice. It's true he's thin. It's true he's youthful. It's true he works out. But the man has failed in China, Pakistan, Afghanistan, North Korea, Cuba, Poland, Mexico, Venezuela, Russia. Wherever you look, Giggles has failed. There's been not one single foreign success for Giggles. Not one. It's unbelievable to me how he's getting away with this and how people are not saying this guy is out of his league. He's unqualified. I don't understand this. Pakistan, failure. Obama's Vietnam, as sure as I'm sitting here. Iran tries to reach out. Giggles tries to reach out to talk to the Hitler of our time. And what does the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, say? He slaps him in the face and he says, we're going to develop a nuclear weapon, yes or no. North Korea. Giggles says he wants a fresh start. And what is Kim Il-sung, mentally ill, the third, what is his response? Launching a missile that can reach Alaska. Cuba. Giggles wants to liberalize our relationship with Cuba. And what do the Castro gangsters say? They say kiss off. Venezuela. Mexico. What has happened with Mexico? Poland. Now, they were once and still are our bravest ally on the European continent. And what has Giggles said to the Poles? The Russians are more important than you are. Giggles has sent the same message to Ukraine and Georgia. Look, and wherever you look, Giggles has failed on the international arena. And next week, Giggles goes to Europe. And I don't know how he's going to be received in Europe, but I suspect not as the savior, but as a clown. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas, AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, 2 points, baby. And congratulations on your birthday, big guy. You're the man. Mike, you know how I am. I get excited.
AJ, I'm not the man. I am a man. Just one man in America. That's all I is.
Hey, Mike. But, hey, Mike, I'm a black man. Mike, all black folks ain't like that. So when you see that and hear that, understand that, you know, black folks, the original ones, I ain't got to say but two words, Woodchuck Bill.
AJ, I understand that. I understand how uncomfortable these kinds of people make you. But to go out in the streets after four officers are killed, one Asian and three whites, by a deranged black criminal wanted for raping a 12-year-old and to call him a hero?
For us to hear that and for the news not to comment, you know, Michael, I think we need to go after the media, too, because
I do go after the media. I think they're the lowest scum in the world, and it's because of them that this country is in the shape it's in.
I know, and it irks me that they keep doing this young crap.
That's right. You would think that, AJ, you're absolutely right. You would think that with their newspapers failing, with the TV ratings in the toilet, with newsmen being fired in legions, you would think there would be a shift in editorial sentiment. But there has not been, AJ, and there's a reason for it. And that is because liberalism is a mental disorder. It is not only a dangerous mental disorder, AJ, it is a fatal mental disorder. They are incapable of understanding. They have dug their own graves. Do you understand this? They've dug their own graves. They support people who support a cop killer, and they don't understand why their newspapers are not being purchased by the citizens.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Great to see all of you, and I am thrilled that all of you here in the White House and everybody who is viewing this online is participating in this experiment that we're trying.
Well, it's not a laughing matter. We have a very dangerous loose cannon in the White House. Who, again, I want to alert you to the fact: just the other day, had the pimps and prostitutes in Congress sign off on an AmeriCorps expansion to 250,000 forced conscripted children, could be your child, into a government service where they will be wearing uniforms, they will be indoctrinated by radical leftists. This is exactly what happened in China under Mao Zedong, under Pol Pot in Cambodia, under Stalin in the Soviet Union. They were called the Pioneer Corps. And I don't have to mention the H word because you'll only say I'm an extremist. But I ask you, how can you liberals not see what's going on beneath your nose? How can you not understand what's going on in front of your eyes? You expect Congress to rein this man in when they are cheaper and can be bought off for less money than a prostitute in your meanest street in town? You ever look at what these people actually make for the deals they pull off for people who pull their strings? A prostitute in a reasonable community makes more money than the average congressman, and they can be bought for less money. Ann Arbor, Matt, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, your satire today is brilliant, especially in your choice of music. Giant steps to the fatherland. Yes. Obama's not taking baby steps to goose steps. He's doing the soft shoe.
Well, I see him for what he is, and I don't understand how America has not seen this. When it comes to children who are supposedly sacred in this society, how could they not understand that Congress just passed a bill the other day, tied to a spending bill, of course, because that's how he bought off the prostitutes, called congressmen like Bonnie Frankfurter, who likes pork. That's how he did it. He buys off guys like Bonnie Frankfurter, who indulges in pork, and they sign off on a bill which will expand AmeriCorps into a not a volunteer, but a mandatory service corps for children. How do they not see this?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I do know. I do know. It's a mixture of drugs and greed. Spokane, Washington. Masood, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I was born in Iran, and I wanted to remind your listeners that in Iran there is a civilian-looking force called Comité that is under direct control of the supreme leader. Even the police, politicians, the military are scared to death of these people. They can barge into anybody's home immediately. And what really breaks my heart, I can understand a lot of American people having witnessed all this, and they're kind of naive, but even some of my own relatives that escaped that madness, and they were about to vote for Obama, I begged them, I said, you've witnessed it, your own self, your parents lived through that right now. Why do you want to ruin this country by voting this?
And what did they say to you? I'm curious, Masood.
Act like a bunch of drunk teenagers. Oh, he's so cute. Doesn't he, you know, his, well, he might be, you know, we just like his name, and he's, it's just, it's beyond belief.
And yes. So they like his name. In other words, there was something sexy about him, something different. And you mean because he was anything but an old white male, they voted for him without knowing what they were buying?
Yes, and I even saw those college girls asking Obama questions, and they were the same way, giggly, you know, yes, Mr. President, thank you. And
well, all right, I understand all of this, but they have no idea what they've gotten here. So they've taken away the Boy Scouts. They've permitted homosexual groups to have precedence over the Boy Scouts. And now they're going to replace the Boy Scouts, which was an all-volunteer group, with a mandatory youth military-style group. And the liberals are saying nothing. It's amazing to me. Amazing. Bernie from WOR, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, Bernie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Listen, I first saw this requirement, 2 years of required public service would exemplify positive patriotism at its best, and liberals should embrace the notion in Robert Reich's book, Reason.
Reich proposed this first?
2004 is the year that the book was published.
That twerp was the one who was the architect of this?
I can only tell you what's in the book. It's
You're telling me that that twerp from Massachusetts, who's now sitting on a tenured seat in Berkeley, California, is the architect of this fascist organization? This youth fascist organization? That twerp?
He proposed it in 2004, but I also want to point out that the liberals first did away with the Boy Scouts. What was wrong with that? That was a voluntary organization.
Well, that's because the homosexuals told the liberals what to do, or shall I say liberals and the homosexual activists are sort of one and the same today.
Well, are we going to have don't ask, don't tell policies in the new youth corps?
Well, you do know that the SA was run by Ernst Röhm. If you studied history, you know who he was, don't you?
Yes.
Ernst Röhm was a notorious street thug, murderer, killer. Ernst Röhm was also a violent, aggressive homosexual who surrounded himself by macho homosexuals, and the entire SA was run by homosexuals. You know that after they got Hitler protected and in power, they were killed by the SS. I mean, that's a story told many times in the fable called The Night of the Long Knives, Bernie. I'm sure you're old enough to know that story.
Yeah, I know. I'm very familiar with every... By the way, I'll tell you something about the Weimar Republic, and that is the period of inflation in 1923. And there was a guy who won the Nobel Prize in Literature named Elias Canetti. And Canetti wrote a book and picked up the idea that people's identities are very much connected to money. And when money is devalued, as it was in Germany, people lose their identity. And when they lose their identity, they join the crowds and the mob. I think I would read Crowds in Power. You'll find a chapter on inflation. Mm. And I would also read A Torch in My Ear, in which he describes the people in the Weimar Republic and how...
Bernie, you're a man who knows history. Obviously, you're well-read. And I want to ask you something. Do you think I'm being an alarmist when I set off the alarm bells about what Obama's creating here?
That's hard to say. I don't see the justification for it. Of course, Robert Reich in his book says that they could work in Homeland Security, they border patrols, they could be in the Peace Corps, they could be in AmeriCorps, and...
But let's go to the basis of this bill that was passed on Monday without any discussion. They're expanding AmeriCorps to 250,000 forced volunteers. They're going to be wearing uniforms. They're going to be indoctrinated by the government. Nobody knows what they're going to be doing, Bernie. Doesn't this alarm you?
Well, there's no such thing as a forced volunteer. That's an oxymoron.
Of course, but that's what Obama just got away with because he's a master manipulator and liar.
Well, we'll have to see what the reaction is.
But how does Congress go along with this, Bernie, without understanding what they've just done?
Well, the Democrat. What did the Republicans? Did the Republicans vote for this?
Yes. Yes, they did, with very, very few exceptions. That's correct. It was not like a squeaker. Yes, the Republicans did as well because he bought them off as well.
Well,
let me go to the article. I want to go to the article, Bernie, for you and everyone else, because if you don't want to get it from michaelsavage.com, we'll go to the original. I want to find the original article for you so that you can look it up yourself. Expanded AmeriCorps has an authoritarian feel. And it was written by the D.C. Examiner, but it's up on my website on the bottom right with a picture that we took from, I think this picture is from the Soviet Union. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We took votes about which questions were going to be asked. And I think 3 million people voted, or 3.5 million people voted. I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but...
Giggles off. He's doing the nightclub act to the potheads and the fools out there, the druggies. Last summer, Barack Obama threw away civil liberties. He proposed a national civilian security force. Play the clip for me so they don't think I'm making it up.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
So he wants a civilian paramilitary force created by himself, reporting only to him through thugs who ran police watch and such, I would imagine. This bill, which was passed the other day, if you think it's just pie in the sky, you're wrong. It was passed the other day with no public discussion, both chambers of Congress. Passed this, increasing community service jobs from 75,000 to 250,000 at a cost of $5.7 billion. It's authoritarianism, it's fascism, it's an expansion of AmeriCorps, but that's only the beginning of it. This legislation is not voluntary in nature. It calls for a workable, fair, and reasonable mandatory service requirement for all able young people. It anticipates the possibility of requiring, quote, all individuals in the United States to perform such service, including elementary school students. Doesn't alarm the liberals. The bill calls for youth engagement zones in which service learning is, quote, a mandatory part of the curriculum in all of the secondary schools served by the local educational agency. What does he mean by this? Well, it was sent to the House. It was voted on by the full House. And there it is. There it is. The Senate went along with it, too. So, in other words, the pimps and prostitutes in Congress have just passed the paramilitary group that reports only to Obama. Ein Volk, shall I repeat it again? Ein Reich, Ein Obama. Is this modeled upon the Cuban youth, the Soviet youth, or the Hitler youth? You say I'm an extremist, I'm an alarmist. I disagree with you. I say I'm Paul Revere. Now, there are fakers in the media who are using the Paul Revere moniker, but you know I created the Paul Revere Society in 94, 95. And so it's okay, whoever wants to wrap themselves in that flag, it doesn't matter to me. They can sound like Groucho Marx themselves. It doesn't really matter. The people know the truth. But this Obama youth movement is a direct descendant of a youth movement from the 30s in Germany, the Soviet Union, and then in the early 60s in Cuba, which modeled it upon the same youths, the same model. Why don't you volunteer your children? And what will be required reading? Will it be Mein Kampf, My Battle, which has a new title called The Audacity of Hope? You know that Hitler, Marx, and Stalin published many books about their struggles as a youth. Obama has many books out as well about his struggles as a youth. And yet we have pimps and prostitutes in Congress who have just given him a blank check to take your child away. Supremely frightening. Liberals are asleep as usual, or drugs. America is going down the drain. We have a dangerous man running this country with people who are either drugged or drunk on money. I don't know which, or both. And let's not forget that John McCain supported this very thing last year. That's why I really didn't support John McCain. John McCain is all part and parcel of the same thing. And I read to you It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. I was the first one to bring it back. Let me ask you something. At what point should the German people have acted against the young Hitler? What should they have done? Well, you all sit there, you big mouth liberal phonies, and say, well, if I had been alive in Germany in the 1930s, I would have spoken out. No, you wouldn't have spoken out. You would have been just who you are now. You would have said nothing. Moreover, you probably would have supported Hitler if he hadn't been a racist. If he hadn't been a racist, you would have supported Hitler. Because most liberals, as you know, are in love with a sort of socialist fascism. And never forget again, as I told you over and over and over again for 5 years now, Hitler was a socialist. Now, they'll argue, no, he was a fascist, but that's coming from the ignorant crowd. Nazi national socialism. He nationalized industries, took control of these industries. And let's not forget that it was industrialists who backed Hitler in the beginning, saying that, don't worry, he can get elected, he's magnetic, he gets a great speaker, we'll control him. Eventually, of course, he controlled the Krupps and all of the others. And that's what's happening here. This is only in 60, 70 days. New York City, WOR, Tony, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, thank you for taking my call. I just was curious because during the election, Obama kept on saying how these volunteers or how the people that were volunteering for him, he was going to call them to duty to help with natural disasters. Well, we got one right now in Fargo, North Dakota. I haven't heard squat from this guy about helping those people out up there.
What do you mean with the rising Red River? What was the department that failed us during Katrina? What was the name of that department under Bush that he was so roundly criticized for?
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, what is it? I don't even know the name of that department. Another useless bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's true.
FEMA. Is FEMA up in the North Dakota?
I don't even know. I didn't hear anything about it.
Is Al Gore up there with a green shirt saying it's because the glaciers are melting farther north and now the people of Fargo are suffering? Of course, Al Gore should check the historical geological records, because the river actually crested at approximately 40 feet in 1872. That was before the infernal combustion engine had been designed and produced. That was before man-made global warming had become a fantasy of this idiot, Al Gore. 1872, the river crested at 40 feet. I guess you could say that the glaciers were melting, or can you say it has nothing to do with the glaciers, Schmendrick?
Savage.
Catchy, huh? Catchy little tune from Germany in the 1930s. They were young, strong boys wearing state-sponsored, state-created uniforms, and they were a volunteer corps. Well, it was a required volunteer corps. They marched to a different drummer, you might say. They marched to the tune of a charismatic young man from Austria who had a little phrase, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Obama. I mean, whatever. How many years have I warned you? How many years have I warned you that liberalism was a mental disorder and that liberals were fascists underneath the surface? How else do you explain Sean Penn, Danny Glover, and the other losers enraptured by Castro, a dictator, enraptured by Ahmadinejad of Iran, enraptured by then Saddam Hussein? How do you explain it? Well, it's a combination of marijuana, hard drugs, and a lifetime steeped in left-wing politics. That's how you explain it. And I'm trying to warn you again. I am America's Paul Revere. I created the Paul Revere Society in 1994. Never mind Groucho Marx, who is coming along now honking his horn. He doesn't even know who Paul Revere was. How could you ever think a lawyer is Groucho Marx? How could you ever think that Groucho Marx, the lawyer, is Paul Revere? Michelle in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I am infuriated. I did not bring her into this world to become an Obama bot. You know, you are not an extremist. You are not an alarmist. You have your fingers on the pulse of what is going on today. People have to wake up from their big-screen televisions and three cars and, you know, sticking their heads in the sand. They have to wake up. Women have to stay home with their children.
Well, I don't want to go into women have to stay home with their children. No, they don't have to stay home with their children. But our children belong to our parents, not to Obama and Soros and our dear friend from Israel, Mr. Rahm Emanuel, who, by the way, this model that he may be using, Rahm Emanuel, is modeled on the Israeli government. In Israel, children are taken to government-run camps. In Israel, the children are put in barracks. In Israel, the children are dressed in uniforms. In Israel, the children are taught what the government wants them to learn. And that's what you see going on here. You want me to level with you? This is Rahm Emanuel. It has his fingerprints written all over it. Savannah, Georgia. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's a pleasure speaking to you. You asked the question before, what kind of socialist nation would we be under Obama? Well, I believe it will be an eco-socialist nation, or even eco-fascist, if you will, in which the state grabs power under the guise of helping the environment. I mean, we've already seen this already happening, and the so-called green movement has nothing to do with the environment. It has everything to do with Big Brother. I mean, just today, Giggles, in his little town hall whatever, unveiled the smart meter, which would measure a household's power output. And I can only assume that if you go over some sort of limit, then the green shirts get to break down your door and adjust the thermostat for you.
Well, it could happen that one of the thugs who just celebrated the shooting of cops in Oakland will be hired by Obama to come and terrify you to make sure you don't go over your allotted amount of electricity. Now, I want to play something from this morning's conference by Giggles, the worldwide town hall meeting, which is one of the most useless wastes of time I've ever seen. It's initiated by Jared Bernstein, whoever he is, apparently a left-wing policy advisor to Vice President Joseph Biden. Jared Bernstein, who apparently has never run a souvlaki stand, a hot dog stand, a hardware store, a haberdashery. Jared Bernstein, whose life has been spent trying to bring socialist economic policies to America, introduces Obama in clip 12.
Next, we have a video question from Harriet in Georgia about bringing jobs back to America.
Hello, President Obama. Here is my question for your online town meeting. When can we expect the jobs that have been outsourced to other countries to come back and be made available to the unemployed workers here in the United States? Thank you so much for all your hard work. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and let's hit 13
now. We've got to go after the high-skill, high-wage jobs of the future. That's why it's so important to train our folks more effectively. And that's why it's so important for us to find new industries building solar panels or wind turbines or, you know, the new biofuel that involve these higher value, higher skill, higher paying jobs. So I guess the answer to the question is not all of these jobs are going to come back. And it probably wouldn't be good for our economy for a bunch of these jobs to come back because, frankly, there's no way that people could be getting paid a living wage on some of these jobs. So what we've got to do is create new jobs that can't be outsourced. And that's why energy is so promising.
So in other words, he's going to create millions of jobs in building solar panels, wind turbines, and biofuels? Hasn't the man looked at the price of a barrel of oil recently? These are money-losing propositions. The scam artists in the solar panel, wind turbine, and biofuel businesses, the scam artists and con men in the biofuels, wind turbine, and solar panel businesses are the scam artists who put Obama in power. They're the only ones who are going to make money. There will be no jobs created here to the extent that he's talking about. Don't you see what this is? Either this is an outright lie, or this is pie-in-the-sky professorial conversations that were going on in the academic beer hall. The beer halls of academia think that solar panels, wind turbines, and biofuels will save America. But of course, ladies and gentlemen, if we did have more solar panels and more wind turbines, and I'm not against them, by the way, and so-called biofuels, I can guarantee you as I sit here, the vermin who create solar panels, wind turbines, and biofuels will outsource those jobs as well. Make no mistake about it, this is one scam after another. One lie after another. In New York City, Jimmy awaits us on WOR. Jimmy, go ahead, please.
Hi, you remember the name Stokely Carmichael from the 60s, the black...
Yeah, all power to the people, right.
Right, he went to Vietnam during the Vietnam War and supported the communists killing his brothers from Harlem.
He was a good friend of Jane Fonda, wasn't he?
Oh, they all were at some point connected. You know, he's been to the Soviet Union. He's been trained, Cuba, Soviet Union. I have a picture of Stokely Carmichael with Saul Alinsky. Now, that's interesting because both Hillary Clinton, who wrote her thesis on Saul Alinsky, and now the current president, Comrade Obama, is also a follower of Saul Alinsky. So this is the Marxist Revolution. You've talked
Jimmy,
about.
We know this. I know this. You know this. Millions of Americans can see right through this fraudulent jokester. Why in the world is America still enraptured with him?
But American people don't have facts. It's all emotion. His handlers have him looking like a cool rock star. But if you look, he's going
to... Why would Rahm Emanuel want to bring a sort of soft fascism to America? I mean, Rahm Emanuel is an Israeli. His father fought in the Irgun. His father was basically a terrorist in the early days of Israel. Let's level with each other. Why would Rahm Emanuel want this in America?
Well, he may want the early stages and may think that's where it ends up. Some people think we'll end up like France, where some of us think we'll end up with death camps. There's two different ways it could end up. Either way is not good. Of course, one may be worse than the other. But some people only want to go along partially. But within this, you have the Bill Ayers and others who would like to go full-length communist dictatorship and probably death camps. So you do
right.
have that.
Bill Ayers and his friends talked about killing 32 million Americans who stood in the way of the ultimate plan. And so that was brushed aside by John McCain during the campaign, if you remember.
Right. Listen, and the guy who made the tape, the guy Grumpwald or something, who was inside the the Weather Underground, he was the one that did the interview. But the man who put that tape together and had it exposed was murdered a couple years later by the Soviets.
No.
Flight 007, Congressman McDonald.
No, you're kidding me.
He's the head of the Western Goals Foundation, and he interviewed...
Do you think these black cop killers and cop haters in Oakland will be hired by Obama?
Well, there were people like that. Listen, when I was a kid in the communist front groups, they talked about what they want to do with American youth, particularly minorities, politicize, radicalize, militarize. But if you get people that are already militant, tough, crazy, involved in crime and violence, you get that person political, you have an army. And remember, Red China was stopped from sending 100,000 machine guns to the street gangs in California. You remember that under Clinton's
yes.
presidency?
Yes.
This is a world movement. It's even connected to this drug violence in Mexico. We were warned about drugs being used as a subversive element in a chemical, biological war.
Well, George Bush let this happen. I mean, let's not mince words here, Jimmy. George Bush fought everyone in America who wanted the borders protected. George Bush created the superhighway from Mexico into every home in America. Come on now. So where's the connection, the difference between Obama and Bush when it comes to that?
Well, I would think Obama appears to be doing it more consciously and purposely, where Bush might have been doing it being ill-informed or even ignorant.
Oh, please. He wasn't ill-informed. That man was using his speech impediment as a weapon.
He was a globalist. He was for eventually world government. But Obama, there's different ways to reach it. And the groups that back Obama are the hardcore who've had long relations with military.
Well, let's back up for a minute. We're talking about Obama and Congress just passed a bill creating a volunteer youth corps where they will be given government uniforms and indoctrinated by the government to do things we don't know yet what they will be doing. It has not been discussed. It's not been on the evening news. It's not been anywhere really. Yet it was passed on Monday. Okay. Now let's go back to the early days of Adolf in Germany. Adolf used violent ex-convicts and criminals in his early days to protect him from the military. Is that not true in the police?
Yes.
Okay. He surrounded himself by violent criminals, violent German youth, who he created in a group called the SA, the Brown Shirts. I am telling you there's a direct parallel between that and this expansion of AmeriCorps. And why do I say that? Where is my evidence? Well, the man who created Cop Watch is now sitting comfortably in the White House. This is the man who harassed police in the San Francisco Bay Area for 10 straight years by sending out legions of scum with video cameras, hippies, criminals, drug dealers, to harass the police in every aspect of their jobs. This man has been rewarded by Obama and been given a job exactly in the Green Movement. So when Obama says that we're never going to get these outsourced jobs back, but it's got to be in new industries like biofuels, solar panels, wind turbines. This is all double talk, in my opinion. It's all a mask for his plan to take over every aspect of this country and nullify any opposition.
You make perfect sense. I think he's doing it on purpose. Green is really red. It's part of the world movement, and people have to understand it. On some level, all of these movements are coordinated, even if it's by a core group within the larger group.
Well, Earth Day is coming up. Earth Day was created by a radical murderer communist named Ira Einhorn. You know that as well, don't you?
Right. It's on Lenin's birthday. April 22nd was the first Earth Day.
Right, and it was created by Ira Einhorn, who killed his girlfriend and put her in a trunk, who was protected by a sitting U.S. senator at this time. What is the senator's name?
You know what? That I don't remember.
Okay, let's go back. Earth Day was created by a murderer who killed his girlfriend, put her in a trunk, hid the trunk in his closet, and was ferreted out of the United States with the help of a sitting U.S. senator who right now is a Republican. Do you know his name?
I don't recall.
His name is Arlen Specter. Arlen Specter at the time was a certified left-winger in Philadelphia. He was well-established in left-wing politics. He helped ferret Ira Einhorn out of the United States of America to France, where he hid for almost 20 years. That's why Arlen Specter has always been such a turncoat. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage.
Organized by Oakland's Uhuru Movement for Economic Development, the group of about 40 marched down MacArthur Boulevard, past the two sites where Lavelle Mixon killed four Oakland police officers before police killed him.
Lavelle is a hero!
That was a good dude!
Lavelle is a hero!
I don't condone what he did, but karma comes around. What goes around comes around.
Here it is. He goes by doing the regular speed limit, and the man pulls him over.
In a way, he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence.
This is what's the subtext of America. This is what's under the surface. Here is a man who killed four policemen, and this a group of lunatics call him a hero and a victim of state-sponsored violence. Now, you know that they're ignoramuses. You know that these people have very low IQs. You can listen to them and know they're morons. But where did they get this rhetoric from? Where did they get this cop-hating rhetoric from? They got it from communist white liberals. They got it from communist white lawyers. They got it from Cop Watch. They got it from communists in Oakland who have filled their brains with hatred. And it ended with the deaths of four police officers, three white and one Asian. You haven't seen that in your local paper because the newspapers are written by the same mentality. Now, the newspapers are written by people who are more intelligent than these people, but they have the same politics, which is why you haven't seen this story in Fargo, North Dakota, Maine, New York. You haven't seen the killing. This is the single biggest killing of police in the history of the state of California. You would think it would be international news. It would be in any sane society. But it isn't, because the mentality of the reporters is the same as that of these people. They actually have sympathy for the murderer. They actually hate the police as much as the street thugs do. What does this have to do with Obama? Everything and nothing. It has everything and nothing to do with Obama, as I have tried to describe to you over the last several hours. And I'm not going to do it again. I explained to you what the relationship is to Obama. The sentiment that you heard in the streets by these cop haters is the same sentiment that put Obama into office, whether you know it or not. The dangers that we face from his new civilian youth corps is that these kinds of people will be hired to run it and to intimidate the middle class. But if you think that's our only problem, you're mistaken. Now we have Hillary Clinton, the carpetbagger who tricked the brilliant New Yorkers into becoming a senator. The geniuses of New York thought that she would represent them. The Jews of New York thought that she cared about Israel. When it was convenient for her, suddenly she wore a yarmulke with Bill Clinton. The minute she became Secretary of State, she stabbed the Jews and Israel in the back. Then, to top it all off, she goes to Mexico, and she blames us for the drug violence spilling over our borders in Clip 22.
Obviously, our demand for drugs is what motivates these drug gangs. I mean, if they didn't think they were going to make a bunch of money across the border, they'd go into another line of work. And so we do share responsibility for the security challenges facing the Mexican people.
Now, how does that differ? How does that differ from the street people in Oakland saying the cops got what they deserved? Listen to Clip 23.
We have accepted that this is a co-responsibility. We know very well that the drug traffickers are motivated by the demand for illegal drugs in the United States, that they are armed by the transport of weapons from the United States to Mexico.
What I'm warning you is exactly what I've warned you for years, that this illegitimate government would use any opportunity, any crisis, to seize your weapons and to seize your freedoms. And they're going to use this drug violence from Mexico as an opportunity to seize your weapons. That's what Clinton is lining up here. Now, it is true that some weapons are coming from the U.S. to Mexico. There's no question about it. But as we've learned over the last few days, if you listen to the Savage Nation, a large number of weapons are not coming from the U.S. They're coming from Eastern Europe. They're coming by ship from Eastern Europe. They're not just coming across from the United States. Hillary Clinton knows that. But they've never missed an opportunity to take away your rights. These left-wing radicals, make no mistake about it, love a good crisis. Not only do they make a profit off it, but they also get to aggrandize more power for themselves and make you a little less free. Mark my words, there's going to be a movement now to seize your guns under the guise of stopping the drug violence from Mexico.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been talking about today. One, protesting not for the cops who were killed, but for the murderer, for the assassin. That's right. Obama's web press conference, Giggles the Clown, unbelievable. And San Francisco versus New York City, the media. What do I mean by the last one? Well, New York City's media has all the details about the gay sex murder of the ABC radio reporter. And even though he worked for years in San Francisco, the so-called media in San Francisco has nothing about this story. I wonder why. I guess they all need to be seen as interior decorators who raise children and bake cookies. Obama's web press conference. Giggles had another press conference, and at this one he answered questions from people on the web. And it turns out his answers are just as empty in cyberspace as any place. Do you think the questions he was asked were real? If they were, wouldn't he have gotten questions on where he was really born, what his real religious inclinations are, and why he's hired an administration filled with crooks and tax dodgers? Protesting the Oakland police killer is amazing. While the insane left in Oakland, California, were not satisfied with ignoring the families of the policemen who were ruthlessly gunned down by Lovell Mixon, they weren't content with ignoring the contributions these policemen made to their communities. Now a group of street rats are rallying in support of the murderer, Lovell Mixon. They actually marched past the place where two motorcycle policemen were executed, and they were shouting, "No justice, no peace." Well, there can be no real justice or peace until the mental illness that causes people to support murderers like this is cured. And by the way, one of the progenitors of No Justice, No Peace, one of the cop harassers and cop haters, is now working for Obama in the White House. Obama's budget is spending and spending and spending and spending. Our economy is in dire straits, and all the administration wants to do is spend so much, our great-grandkids will still be paying for Obama's megalomania. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Brian Darling, who says there are better ideas being talked about in the House and Senate.
Thanks, Michael. Congress is debating the president's budget, President Obama's $3.6 trillion budget, and conservatives are outraged because this represents efforts by the left to radically expand the size and scope of the federal government. Barack Obama has talked about how we're in the midst of a great crisis, and conservatives need to make sure that President Obama doesn't use this crisis as an excuse to expand the federal government to levels that we have not seen in our lifetime. If you look at Republicans, what Republicans are doing in Congress, you have Mike Pence, who has his own plan to have a bolder, clearer initiative and a more restrained initiative on federal spending. There are some great ideas out there. Jim DeMint fought to cut taxes with his American option. David Vitter of Louisiana and Rob Bishop of Utah worked very hard to get a no-cost stimulus act that would allow for more domestic drilling, to get more resources, more energy resources out there, to get gas prices down, get our economy jump-started. You have Jim Inhofe Madoff of Oklahoma and Trent Franks of Arizona. They have a 4% of GDP for Freedom initiative that would dedicate 4% of our nation's budget to defense spending. And you have Paul Ryan, congressman from Wisconsin, who has a roadmap for America's future, where he looks at the long-term implications of entitlement spending and his effort to rein in entitlement spending and get our budget closer to being balanced. Americans really deserve responsibility in government. They're not getting it right now because America's fiscal house isn't in order. If Americans ran their budget like the federal government ran their budget, then Americans would have a $10.7 trillion debt that they're incurring, and no American could carry that type of debt. It's an outrage that the federal government is proposing this radical expansion of spending, this radical expansion of the size and scope of the federal government. And when you look at it, put it in perspective. President Obama came into office. He first asked for a stimulus plan. If you add up the spending, $787 billion in the interest, it's over a $1 trillion proposal. President Obama's housing proposal, going to cost $1 trillion. President Obama's finishing up of last year's spending plans, the omnibus, which contained 8,500 earmarks, there's another $400 billion. This is all adding up and heaping debt on future generations to the point where our federal government may potentially need a bailout, just like those guys in Wall Street are coming to Washington, D.C. with their hands out. Our federal government might have to go to foreign governments with their hands out begging for money, and we really don't want to get in that situation.
What's going on with welfare reform?
Welfare reform is under attack in Congress. The stimulus plan had a radical expansion of welfare spending, and it guts all of the great initiatives that happened in 1996 with welfare reform. We're creating dependency. We're creating new dependency. The stimulus stimulated welfare in the states and expanded welfare because what they did was they put forth $650 billion new means-tested welfare spending over the next decade. That's going to create dependency. That amounts to around $18,500 for every poor person in the United States. So when you look at our stimulus plan, what it did stimulate was dependency and bigger government.
What's going on with the volunteer bill, the new SA?
Well, Congress is in the midst of a debate in this new the so-called volunteerism bill sponsored by Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts and Orrin Hatch of Utah. It would expand AmeriCorps, Senior Corps, create this new Veterans Corps. But basically what it is going to do is crowd out the private sector. The private sector, which provides services for the poor, for homeless people, are being crowded out by big government. It fits into the picture of President Obama's vision of America, where the government's going to take care of everybody and expand into every realm of American society. You look at what's going on in Wall Street now. President Obama just proposed a plan to actually have the federal government manage not just banks, but other financial firms on Wall Street. So we're seeing this huge vision of government, the government running the economy, the government taking over what charitable organizations have done through the years. It's a radical expansion of the size and scope of the federal government that we haven't seen in our lifetimes.
Who deserves credit for doing the right thing?
Well, the good guys out there are South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. He rejected $700 million in stimulus funding because it would tie his hands in how he spends his money in a state government. So cheers to Mark Sanford, Governor of South Carolina, for standing up to the federal government and saying, no, I don't want this money. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal and Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour also have stood up and said that they don't want federal government monies when their hands are tied in how they spend the monies and when it's going to create new dependency. There's really no need for the federal government to bail out state governments. And these good governors, Sanford, Jindal, and Haley Barbour, have stood up and said to the federal government, no, we don't want the money. The strings that you're giving us and the massive expansion of these state governments is something that we don't need. If you look at the rolls, the unemployment numbers are up. But guess where the unemployment is high, but where it's really low is in government employment. You're not seeing people fired in the federal government and the state governments. You're seeing the government roles actually expand dramatically. So the sectors of the economy that are healthy are the government. Healthcare is doing well because it hasn't yet been attacked by socialized medicine. The energy sector is doing well. It hasn't been attacked by cap and trade. Every other aspect of our economy seems to be in a downturn. So watch out. When the government gets its hands on it, the only thing that will actually increase and become bigger is the federal government. And jeers to Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. They sat down and they were debating the omnibus spending bill and the earmarks in the bill, and it turned into a profanity-laden yelling match. It was heard throughout the Capitol. They really showed that the decorum that is used in the Capitol has been broken. Your speaker and your majority leader don't seem to get along. They don't seem eye to eye, and when they don't, they swear at each other.
Brian Darling, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Giggles from Obama had another press conference today, but this time it was a special and new and different press conference because this time it focused on questions asked via the World Wide Web, WWW anyone? Some guy who appeared to be a distant cousin of Rahm Emanuel, we will call him Sturm und Drang Emanuel or something like that, introduced Obama and then began reading supposed questions that had come in for giggles from across the nation. Although it seems possible that the questions were just sent in by other cousins of Rahm Emanuel. For example, Moshe Emanuel sent in this question from Boston. Listen.
Our first question comes from Boston, Massachusetts, on the topic of education. The founding fathers believe that there is no difference between a free society and an educated society. Our educational system, however, is woefully inadequate. How do you plan to restore education as a right and core cultural value in America?
And Joshua Emanuel sent in this question from Ohio.
The next question is on home ownership from Heather from Ohio. President Obama, what benefits from the stimulus plan are there to those of us who are paying our mortgages but living paycheck to paycheck?
Then Jaime Emanuel, posing as Richard from California, sent in the following question.
This next question, an area close to your heart, health care reform. From Richard in California. Why can we not have a universal health care system like many European countries where people are treated based on needs rather than financial resources?
But perhaps the most interesting part of the whole fiasco was when a woman, Harriet from Georgia, sent in a video of herself asking about outsourced jobs and when they'd come back to America. You got to listen to this answer from Giggles.
Next, we have a video question from Harriet in Georgia about bringing jobs back to America.
Hello, President Obama. Here is my question for your online town meeting. When can we expect the jobs that have been outsourced to other countries to come back and be made available to the unemployed workers here in the United States? Thank you so much for all your hard work. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, I appreciate that.
Obama gives a rambling 10-minute answer to the question and finally admits at the very end that the jobs are not coming back and they must be replaced with green jobs. Listen to what the green president says about green jobs.
We've got to go after the high-skill, high-wage jobs of the future. That's why it's so important to train our folks more effectively. And that's why it's so important for us to find new industries building solar panels or wind turbines or, you know, the new biofuel that involve these higher value, higher skill, higher paying jobs. So I guess the answer to the question is not all of these jobs are going to come back. And it probably wouldn't be good for our economy for a bunch of these jobs to come back because, frankly, there's no way that people could be getting paid a living wage on some of these jobs. So what we've got to do is create new jobs that can't be outsourced. And that's why energy is so promising.
In the words of Shakespeare, it was sound and fury signifying nothing. And the only thing you came away with at the end of this pointless web press conference is the fact that real American jobs are never coming back, and the future of our country is primarily centered around shoveling compost against green fence posts. Now, the only question is, what type of socialist nation will America be when he gets through with this country? Will it be on a Swedish model? That wouldn't be so bad, you say. Or will it be on the Cuban model, or the ex-Soviet Union model with forced labor camps, or the North Korean model? Which model do you think is most appropriate for what's going to happen in this country if we don't stop Giggles? Now you say, what is he rambling on about? Is Giggles that bad, or is this guy just pissed off that a conservative didn't win and all of that? Well, let's examine it. together. Expanded AmeriCorps has an authoritarian feel is the headline in the DCExaminer.com. Do you remember when Obama threw civil liberties to the wind during the campaign and he quickly covered it up when he proposed, quote, a civilian national security force that's just... Why don't you play Obama giggles when he said this? Let's play it, okay, because it's very
important. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Now, what does he mean by a civilian national security force? Well, we know that he hired a street thug from Oakland, California, who harassed the police for 10 years, which led to the deaths of four cops. And his minions were in the streets just yesterday in Oakland, California, supporting not the families of the dead officers, but the vermin who killed the dead officers. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear. If you are in law enforcement, I suggest you do not listen to this. I want you to listen to a group of street vermin memorializing the cop executioner, Lovell Mixon. Play 2 and 3.
But karma comes around. What goes around comes around.
Here it is. He goes by doing the regular speed limit, and the man pulls him over.
In a way, he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence.
I mean, I am not speechless. There are many things I would like to say that I cannot say on a AM station that's broadcast to America and via the internet around the world. But this group of people in the street was supporting the man who executed four policemen. They call themselves the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. And they call the killer of the cops who executed them in the street as they lay dying, two of them, a hero. Now, this piece of crap, Lovell, was pulled over because he was wanted for grabbing a 12-year-old girl off the street and raping her. Now, I guess this group in Oakland believes in raping. Anyone who commits child rape must be heroic. Listen to the clip 4 now.
Are you making Lovell Mixon a hero?
One could say that in a way he is a hero. I would just say that he's another victim of state-sponsored violence. Far too often we see our African men and women killed by the police.
Now, with this kind of street vermin running around Oakland, California, you know why there's restaurant robberies, home invasions, and now the killing of cops. They've been nullified by Obama's minions. And if you say, what does Obama have to do with it? Everything. Obama is the sum total of this movement.
Savage.
The threat of the unfairness doctrine is still looming over us. The desire of the left to silence any opposition is well documented. The only question is, how will they try to do it? Joining us today is Selwyn Duke with how he thinks it will come about.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be with you again. Michael, freedom of speech is very important to the Savage Nation, and we've often talked about how the left is trying to suppress it with things like the fairness doctrine and speech codes on college campuses and in workplaces. And we know that if we don't turn the cultural tide, we'll all be wearing an iron muzzle with the word sensitivity written all over it. Well, today I'll do something unique. I want to explain what I believe is the exact process by which the left will eliminate freedom of speech. Now, I want everybody to think about a term we've heard a lot during the last 10 years, and I'm talking about hate speech. We didn't hear this many years ago. Instead, we heard things like sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Now we hear words can kill me, and hate speech has become a category unto itself and a rallying cry of the left. For instance, think about that old incident where the actor Michael Richards, and I'm talking about the fellow who played Kramer on Seinfeld, where he had that racial epithet-laced outburst at a Los Angeles nightclub. Now, of course, none of us condone that, but as you'll soon see, this is about a lot more than just stifling the Michael Richardses of the world. Well, anyway, after that incident, I saw uncivil rights attorney Gloria Allred talking about it on TV. And the very first thing she did, the very first, was to boldly proclaim, "This is not free speech, this is hate speech."
Well, something tells me that that was not a spontaneous statement.
No, it certainly wasn't, Michael, not at all. No, it was well-crafted and calculated and, I believe, was designed to serve a very insidious end. And let's examine this with the introduction of a subject that, on the surface, seems unrelated. As a dissenting justice in the 1958 Bear v. Kilmorgan case, one Judge Gallagher is quoted as having warned that, "If the court does not stop talking about the separation of church and state, people are going to start thinking it is part of the Constitution," unquote. Now, obviously, the courts didn't stop, and the result is that 4 decades later, this fact is imprinted upon the American mind, and the average Joe has been desensitized to the removal from the public square of historic religious symbols out of respect for this mythical constitutional principle. And the same strategy is being used to imbue the American mind with the notion that so-called hate speech is not protected under the First Amendment. And here's what the left is doing. This is social engineering 101. First, use the term hate speech as much as possible. Burn it into our vocabulary and establish it as a category unto itself. And it's not hard. This has already happened with terms, concepts such as sexual harassment and the concept of which hate speech is a corollary, hate crime. Then, be sure to juxtapose the two terms, hate speech and free speech, constantly. For example, saying, "This is not free speech, this is hate speech," creates further separation between the two in people's minds, cementing the notion that they're starkly different verbal species.
Well, if this can be accomplished, then the idea that so-called hate speech is protected under free speech rights may start to seem laughable even to giggles.
Bingo, Michael. Bingo. And you know what? Not only will this strategy persuade many legislators and judges that hate speech isn't protected under the Constitution and therefore can be criminalized, it'll also influence the man on the street. And, as the saying goes, if you really want something, act like you already have it. As long as you continually condemn hate speech and juxtapose it with free speech, more and more people will assume that it already is illegal. And once enough Americans believe this, all that's left is what? To make it official. And you don't even have to lie. Success hinges mainly on the positioning of words, timing, tone, and most of all, repetition. And unfortunately, this has already had its effect. It isn't uncommon now to find Americans who do believe hate speech is already illegal. I've met them myself. And believe it or not, Bill O'Reilly uttered this misconception on his TV show once. Now, this is where some may say, "Wait a second, Duke, wait a second. There's that little impediment called the Constitution, isn't there?" Well, you know what? Some may think it's an insurmountable firewall against tyranny, but let's face it, we time and again see justices who violate it in the name of leftist agendas. And I tell you, just as they were able to perform the intellectual contortions necessary to read the separation of church and state into the First Amendment, so will they read freedom of speech out of it.
We're talking with Selwyn Duke about his thoughts on the Fairness Doctrine, but Selwyn, what about the legal precedent for this? Are they just going to make it up out of whole cloth?
Well, Michael, that brings us to a very interesting point. Judges do like the moral authority of legal precedent, so we have to ask, where will they find the legal precedent for criminalizing hate speech? Well, I'm going to shock you. They'll find it in foreign lands, believe it or not. Places such as Australia, Canada, and England, where they already have hate speech laws. Now, if you think this seems ridiculous, if you wonder how foreign laws could ever serve as American legal precedent, just listen to this, listen. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself once said about what informs justices' legal rulings, quote, "But our island or Lone Ranger mentality is beginning to change. Our justices are becoming more open to comparative and international law perspectives," unquote. She also said, get this, that there were questions where reference to international law could, quote, "prove enlightening or valuable in a positive or negative sense," unquote. And one of the questions she mentioned was, what do you think? That's right, hate speech. Now, I also want you to understand that Ginsburg isn't alone in this judicial activism. Former Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and others have expressed similar sentiments. This is a common legal philosophy today.
But wait, if they're looking to the laws of foreign lands, they're not going to stop at outlawing racial epithets, are they?
No, Michael, and that's the problem. Look, here's the thing. If you really take Ginsburg's advice and examine the laws of other nations, you'll see that hate speech legislation was quickly broadened beyond the prohibition of epithets. It was expanded to encompass unfashionable beliefs, things like criticizing Islam, homosexual behavior, or immigration. And remember, the American people will never be told that this is the intention, because a good salesman doesn't give specifics. He knows full well that many won't read the fine print. And this is, mind you, exactly what the social engineers did when they first sold people on the separation of church and state idea. They billed it as a defense against the imposition of religion. If they had told Americans the truth, that the principle would expand inexorably and one day be used to tear crosses off city seals and property, remove religious statues, ban the singing of Christmas carols in schools, rename Christmas trees holiday trees, and that ne'er-do-wells would seek to remove the word God from the pledge and currency, what do you think would have happened? Americans would have balked. So, the social engineers just marketed the idea as a way to protect citizens' rights. And that's exactly how they'll peddle hate speech laws. So, in summary, once public support for the criminalization of hate speech is galvanized, we'll have legislation. And once the international law rationalization that allows for it permeates enough jurists' minds, we'll have it upheld in court. Then, with the principle of hate speech enshrined in American law, you know what? It'll be open season on politically incorrect positions. Once an unacceptable belief is identified, our culture shapers in the media and entertainment and academia will simply define it as hateful and beat that drum until it becomes the next supposition. And then, you know what? The legal definition will be sure to follow. And then you know what we'll see here? We'll see cases like in Canada, where a man named Mark Harding was punished for criticizing Islam. Or we'll see cases like in England, where schoolgirl Cody Stott was jailed on a racial offense. And guess what for? For requesting to be seated with English-speaking students in her class. Or we'll see cases like in Sweden, where Pastor Akka Green was jailed for criticizing homosexuality in a sermon. I guess you're not supposed to do those things in church, huh? But this is the dystopia that lies ahead unless we can right the cultural ship. And this is also one reason why jurists who believe that our Constitution is a living document and that they can look to international law when making rulings are nothing less than judicial terrorists. They're worse than Osama bin Laden, and I mean that, because he can only destroy infrastructure, but these black-robed oligarchs destroy our very system of government itself. Michael, thank you for the opportunity to be on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Thanks, Selwyn. We have to keep our eyes open to prevent them from silencing our opinions. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I don't condone what he did, but karma comes around. What goes around comes around.
Okay, the Oakland police massacre. They're defending the executioner. After four Oakland policemen were brutally murdered, after four families were torn apart forever, after an entire police department was devastated, and an entire nation shocked by the viciousness and brutality of these assassinations, a group of street thugs in Oakland, California held a rally in support not of the policemen that gave their lives, but of the vicious murderer Lavelle Nixon. A group calling itself the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement marched through the streets of Oakland, past where two of the policemen were killed, shouting slogans against the police department. They claim Lavelle Nixon was not a monster. The media interviewed these people without questioning them, and still after almost an entire week has gone by, there's no coverage of the families, virtually no coverage of who these officers were, no coverage of the service they gave to their communities, to their nation, to their families. Instead, there's only coverage of an insidious, cold-blooded murderer and street vermin. These are the most vicious scum imaginable. People who would like to destroy the police department. The very people who would protect them. These are vicious, racist, unthinking vermin. There is no difference between the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and the Ku Klux Klan, with the exception that the Uhuru Movement is more dangerous, more alive, more of a threat to the stability of our society. And yet, in an environment where Obama is actually hiring street thugs of this sort, for example, hiring Van Jones, who started Police Watch, as an organization set up just to harass the police in Oakland, California, this guy is now running a unit to create green jobs. It seems that these vicious, heartless defenders of a murderer, an executioner, will not only not get a reprimand, they're liable to be invited to the White House for a Presidential Medal of Freedom. In the Marxist Hollywood of today, the actors and directors who don't attack America, the troops and the flag are few and far between. One of the exceptions is Gary Sinise, who co-starred in Forrest Gump and CSI New York, and who knows what it's like to be a real American in Hollywood. Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation. Tell us about what you're working on.
Yeah, the movie is Brothers at War. It opened in about five markets a week ago, Brothers at War. And we got terrific review from Roger Ebert in the Chicago Sun-Times. He's, you know, he leads off his review by saying, this is the movie I've been waiting for. It's an extraordinary review. Now we're going to open in 20 more markets on Friday. You can go to brothersatwarmovie.com to find out what those markets are. You can, if you want to see the film, if you think that there's even a link on this website that if you think you can generate, you know, 1,000 tickets in your community, Samuel Goldwyn will get you a print and launch the movie in that community. We're opening it in a lot of military communities right now because those are really those folks, you know, are people that have been hungry for this type of movie from Hollywood. And I think it's doing very well for a movie that virtually has no advertising budget at all. We're just starting to catch on, and people are coming to see it, and we're getting a lot of support from folks like you, and I thank you for that.
Now, Gary, who else was involved in this?
Well, this is Jake's first film. Jake was an actor. He just had he had two brothers that are the center of this film. They're both serving their country. One, the older of the two brothers, Isaac, he's definitely a military man. He went to West Point. He's just the kind of guy that you're glad we have serving this country. And, unfortunately, maybe Hollywood has sent a signal that our troops are less than honorable or victims of something. And, you know, that's just not what I see in general when I go out there and visit these folks. I see a lot of dedicated people that want to do the right thing and are trying to do the right, get their jobs done and serve their country and succeed.
I totally agree that the American fighting man does his job with honor and persistence, and I can see how important it was to make this. How did you get involved in this project?
A mutual friend of ours introduced us to each other, and Jake showed me the movie, which was cut, which was shot and edited, but they ran out of money. They didn't have money now what are they going to do? You got to find a distributor, and you got to pay for prints and advertising and all the different things to release the movie in the theaters. And they were kind of stalled without money. And I saw the film and started trying to support it, introducing Jake to a bunch of different people in hopes that we could find a distributor, which eventually the movie did. I wasn't initially involved in any official capacity. I was just somebody who felt that the movie reflected things that were important to me, and it was a movie that I responded to really well, and just wanted to get behind and support. I, you know, like some people, I get frustrated with the lack of attention to the high level of integrity that our troops have, and the majority of the attention is paid on, you know, whenever something goes wrong or something's negative. And this movie just shows us a side of who our troops are, who our military families are, some of the things that are going on in Iraq that we might not be aware of, and so I wanted to support that and just try to help. And then eventually Jake and the producer Norman Powell just said to me, will you join the team? Will you be come aboard as an executive producer in an official capacity and help us see this through? And I was proud to be able to do that.
We're talking with actor and producer Gary Sinise about his new project. I hear it's been pretty successful.
This movie does not have a big advertising budget like a lot of films. It's really going to be dependent on people to support this, like you and other people who believe in the movie, to try to get the word out to help us get people in the seats, and hopefully those people will then spread the word and the movie will catch on.
Okay, how can people get more information?
The only thing, again, like I said, if you go to brothersatwarmovie.com, you'll find all kinds of ways that you can help us spread the word. If you've been hungry for a movie about our troops and our military families that shows who they are and the high level of integrity they have, and if you want to be proud of the folks you have defending the country, then go to brothersatwarmovie.com and see how you can help.
Gary Sinise, thank you for being here on the Savage Nation.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Okay, michaelsavage.com has all the news you miss everywhere else. I collect it from around the world, from dcexaminer.com. The expanded AmeriCorps under Obama has an authoritarian feel, they say. Remember when Obama said he doesn't care about civil liberties? He said he wanted a, quote, civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the regular military. Get ready for the brown shirts. From the New York Post, the Countess from Sweden tells all about the mogul hubby. If you want to support the families of the executed police officers, you can't do it by going to your local filthy newspaper that I wouldn't wipe an elephant's dung with. Go to michaelsavage.com and see where you can send money to support their families. ABC newsman killed during homosexual rough sex tryst, not covered in San Francisco. Well, because you know in San Francisco there's a myth that all those in that particular lifestyle are decorators or web designers or something kind and gentle, and all they want to do is stay home and bake cookies. Obama years ago helped fund his carbon program. Fox News tells us that you must watch out for Obama or giggles. And on the top of michaelsavage.com, Soros says I'm having a very good crisis. That's because he put Obama in office, no doubt. And why is this man smiling? Well, he made $1.1 billion last year while you lost your job. Look no further than giggles.
Savage.